Fire blast!
As the hot lead from the biplane chewed a double line of destruction along the ground, Ryan veered sharply to the right, arcing around a pile of loose rocks and weeds. The Beamer slipped in the gravel for a moment, and the one-eyed man tasted fear before the tires bit into solid earth again and he lurched ahead. Already past him, the Skywag was circling around once more to make another scraping run. Ryan savagely braked to a halt and worked the jam out of the breech of the Stire.
Come on!
Got it!
He carefully raised the sniper rifle. He put the shot into the tail of the machine with no visible results.
Damn!
Wheeling to the right, Ryan ducked under some trees and braked. He turned with the Stire again, but he couldn't see the Skywag anywhere. He just sat there, pretending to fiddle with the engine.
Where the hell is she? Screw it.
Reaching a patch of level sand, Ryan stayed his course. He had 5 rounds in the long gun, with 2 more clips in his jacket, along with 6 loose rounds. He had also taken along a Gren in case he needed a diversion, but a fat lot of good it would do against the Skywag. Passing a clump of juniper bushes, Ryan gained a good mile before locating a rotten tree stump. Heading past it, he crouched over the hot engine to lower the wind resistance and gain more speed. In spite of the rough terrain, the speedometer hit 60 miles per hour as the Beamer went straight over the edge of a gully. Flying above the ravine, Ryan caught a brief glimpse of a babbling creek below before he landed hard on the other side.
Yes!
Whoa!
But then, the front wheel of the bike slipped out from underneath him on a patch of green grass. He almost went over the handlebars.
Ah, there you are!
The RPM hit the red line on the dashboard as Ryan outran the hail of lead and then banked the wheels hard. Kicking out a leg, his boot hit the ground with a jarring impact. Ryan kept the tilting Beamer angled away from the gully. A spreading tree loomed directly ahead. He ducked low.
Fire blast!
A branch banged his elbow. A pain shot through his arm from the glancing impact. Momentarily, his hand went numb, and Ryan fought to control the runaway motorcycle with only one hand. He was almost to the edge of the gully again when he regained control and shot back toward the original course. Gaining another mile, Ryan risked a fast look upward.
Damn!
Where'd the bitch go?
This whole deal was going straight into the shitter unless Ryan could keep the woman constantly on his tail.
Time for a wreck.
Heading for a hillock, Ryan bounced along the ground, dodging holes and fallen tree limbs until reaching the crest. He quickly scanned the sky.
There she is.
She dove straight out of the moon, using the silvery light to hide her approach.
Nuking hell!
As Ryan frantically peeled away, the biplane swooped down along the hillock. Streaking down the sloped ground, Ryan veered to the right. A Molotov exploded just where he had been. Glass shrapnel peppered his jacket. He felt the wave of heat on his neck for a long moment before he went out of range. Darting between 2 boulders, Ryan jounced over a fallen tree and dashed through a shallow creek before reaching the flat grassland. In the side view mirror, Ryan could see the hillock coated with flames. Treggert was getting bastard good at tossing those bombs. Accelerating to full speed, Ryan climbed on top of the mesa as the Beamer flashed through the night, the bright headlight giving him only seconds to dodge exposed roots or chunks of pre-dark ruins that would have sent the bike tumbling. Treggert winged around in a graceful circle to swoop down once more. Suddenly, the top of a nearby tree exploded as if hit by lightning.
Fucking TNT!
A hail of splinters peppered his back with stinging force, and Ryan braced himself for the fenderless rear tire to blow. But as he gained another mile and nothing happened, he eased the tension in his arms and looked around to find the Skywag. A mile went by through the sparse grasslands with no sign of the machine anywhere. Ryan was starting to worry the woman had lost him.
Here we go!
Ryan brought up the Stire. As if she'd been waiting to see the flashes of his rifle, Treggert rolled the Skywag over and came out of the aerial maneuver heading straight for him again.
Come to daddy.
Ryan checked the dashboard, noting that the engine temperature was running dangerously high. There was nothing he could do about that. He rolled forward to build speed until the ground was only a blur beneath the speeding bike. Switching tactics, Treggert moved ahead of him and tried attacking from directly in front. Ryan switched off the headlight to dodge her bombs and bullets. But escape wasn't the plan. The moment he was in the clear, Ryan turned on the light again. He sent two 7.62mm hollow point rounds at the machine as it passed by the moon. Incredibly small caliber blaster fire was returned from Treger as she shot at him with a handgun.
You missed, bitch!
His taunt seemed to work because suddenly the Skywag was flying only yards off the ground. Letting go of the handlebars, Ryan used both hands to steady the Steyr. Instantly, Treger did a barrel roll and climbed into the air.
She out of bombs?
More likely, Treger just wanted him to think that she was out, to lure him closer. As the Angel circled, Ryan rummaged in his jacket pocket for the loose rounds and started thumbing them into an empty clip. 5 miles remained, and the bike was getting low on fuel. Less than half a tank. That would just have to be enough. Removing the partially used clip and inserting the full one, Ryan tucked the old clip into his shirt pocket, along with the last live round. Just then, the hairs on Ryan's neck stood up. Instantly, he turned.
What the hell?
A man dropped his spear in pain, but another threw his. The wooden shaft flashed by to smash into Ryan's windshield, breaking it to pieces. Ryan swung the barrel of the Steyr to the new target. Two more spears came out of the darkness. One grazed Ryan's neck. The other slammed harmlessly against the engine block of the Beamer. In the brief illumination of the Steyr's muzzle flash, Ryan had seen several half-naked men coming his way. Each was wearing a necklace of white bones. Their heads were shaved, and their muscular bodies were covered with swirling tattoos.
Desert cannies!
They had to have been following the tracks of the Hummer all of this distance to get revenge. Unfortunately, Ryan was using the same tracks as a guide to take him back to the forest. He could see the cannies were carrying blunt spears, the sharp stone tips removed. His blood went cold when he realized why. These spears weren't for killing, but to knock a victim unconscious and take him alive. Alive for the cooking pot. The cannies broke into a rush and converged on him.
Oh, fuck.
Writhing flames from the burning tents illuminated the night as the guard dogs attacked. Christy fired from the hip as the animal spread out to circle her and Mildred.
Quick, Christy. Go back to back.
Mildred rushed to join Christy. A grazed animal seemed puzzled how it got injured, and Mildred fired again. This time she got a double strike into the face of the beast, and the dog's head exploded. The rest of the dogs began to race faster around the two women, looking for an opportunity to strike.
I think we're fucked, Mildred.
Already down to 4 rounds, Christy pulled her knife and kept the blade swinging to distract the animals from rushing.
I think you're right, Christy. John's shotgun is what we need.
Mildred shifted her posture to try to keep facing the dogs. She chanced a shot from the Sig Sauer, but only hit the ground.
Damn, they're fast. Any chance you have a grenade?
Gave it to Jack.
Shit!
A dog started toward Christy. As she aimed her gun, the animal froze, and a different dog charged in from the side.
Shit!
Quickly, she ducked and thrust out the blade, catching the dog directly in the throat. Gushing blood, the dying beast jerked away and took the blade along, just as the first dog eased a foot closer. Christy brought her gun up. The animal froze, but its eyes never left her face.
These are hunting dogs, trained to attack prey as a group.
Any suggestions?
Mildred watched nervously as two of the animals started edging in for her from the sides, while a third crouched low, ready to leap. Mildred knew that the moment she fired at the two, the third would go for her throat. She flicked her eyes to the left for just a second, then back again to see the middle dog was closer.
Got a knife?
Mildred nudged Christy with a hip.
My left side. All right.
Warily, Christy changed hands on her gun and reached backward. She found the sheath and pulled the blade free.
Get ready.
Christy flipped the knife over in her hand to grasp the blade instead of the handle. The middle dog started closer. To distract them, Mildred crossed her arms to point at the animals at her sides again, went back to her original position, then crossed her hands at the wrists. The dog shifted in response to the moves and always kept her eyes on the women.
On your right. Here it comes.
Go!
Mildred tightened her grip on her weapons. Keeping her gun pointed at the crouching middle dog, Christy flipped the knife over his shoulder. The blade landed on the hard ground between two of the dogs facing Mildred. Both of those animals darted their heads toward the unexpected noise, and the third dog leapt.
Fuck!
Mildred fired into the chest of the animal. It slammed into her. Its paws raked strips off her denim jacket. Firing blindly, Mildred shoved the dog aside as it snapped for her face, its sharp teeth closing only inches away, its hot, fetid breath blowing into her open mouth. Another dog charged Christy. Raising an elbow to protect her throat, Christy slammed the animal down. It fell sprawling, only to scramble back onto its paws to try again. Christy twirled to get out of the way and rammed a boot into its belly. The dog was lifted off the ground, landing hard. Christy carefully took aim. The dog dropped limply, and Christy spun, seeking a fresh target.
Mildred?
The last dog had closed its jaws around the bulbous silencer of the Sig Sauer.
Son of a bitch!
Christy took aim. Mildred shoved her Czech ZKR wheel gun into its ear. The beast flopped to the rocky ground. Watching for any more dogs, the women quickly reloaded and then retrieved their knives.
You okay, Mildred?
Only some scratches. How about you?
I've been better.
Christy touched her side.
Ah!
Mildred holstered her gun and swept back Christy's shaggy fur coat. She frowned at the crimson stain on her shirt. Mildred reached for her medkit.
I guess it hurts, eh?
Like fire, which means it's only a flesh wound. Oh, forget the medkit. Minutes count. If Traegert returns to find us out in the open...
Yeah, no kidding.
The Sticky's tent burst into flames. Mildred paused, wishing there was something she could do.
Nothing deserves to die like that.
She knew that if she sent the muties free, their first act would be to try to tear off her face. She turned her back on the death screams.
Look!
Christy pointed with her gun, her other hand under her coat, pressing on the bleeding gash.
There's nobody defending that tent!
Which means there's nobody there. So it's either the barracks or Traegert's private tent.
Let's go.
The two women moved fast along the hard ground, firing sporadically at any distant figure with a shaved head. The two companions reached the abandoned tent and drew their knives. Slashing vents in the cloth, they did a wreck through the openings before rushing in through the flap. The inside of the tent was sumptuously decorated with fur rugs on the floor and actual wooden furniture. There was even a bed with a brass railing headboard. It looked so normal it gave Mildred a touch of homesickness. There were alcohol lanterns on the dining and bedside tables, but lighting those would only have announced their presence to everybody in the crater. Separating, they began to ransack the place, turning over tables and yanking open chests to find only food, guns, and miscellaneous machine parts. The guns all seemed to have parts missing, but the grins were good.
Here.
Christy grabbed two and tossed one to Mildred. The physician made the catch and tucked the explosive charge into a pocket of her military jacket.
Thanks. Check the bed next.
Mildred watched the shadows on the cloth wall. Carl had said the airfield had only 20 workers, but there certainly seemed to be more. Had he lied? Or had the reinforcements already arrived from Thunderville? Ripping off the blankets, Christy slashed the mattress, then flipped it over.
What's this?
There, on the box springs, was a small leather volume. Hastily grabbing it, Christy angled the book to try to read by the flickering firelight. The math and the diagrams in the journal made no sense to her, but in it, Traegert described her problems in duplicating the angel in exquisite detail.
This is it?
Christy pulled out her butane lighter. For a split second, she paused, knowing she was destroying an invaluable wealth of technological information.
Screw it.
She quickly placed the flame to the ancient paper. It caught easily, and soon, the manual was burning freely.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Christy tossed the journal onto a table.
Not quite yet.
She grabbed a lantern, turning it upside down. The glass flue fell off, and the alcohol poured out of the reservoir onto the journal. The red flames turned blue for a tick as they swelled in volume.
My lady, is that you?
A sec man threw open the flap to the tent.
I heard your voice and... Oh, it landed!
He instantly went for the blaster on his belt. Mildred and Christy fired in unison.
Back door!
Mildred pulled the Sig Sauer to cover the entrance with her two blasters. Christy ripped apart the cloth and stepped through into the fiery night. She held the wrench wide for Mildred. Then the women took off into the billowing smoke. Hot embers stung their faces, and it was difficult to see anything clearly through the flames.
Ah! It's okay. It's only the ammunition in the tent cooking off.
Thank Gaia.
Moving away from the area, they ran over more dead set men and arched around a bonfire of what seemed to be the skeletons of giant birds. Christy squinted against the heat and smoke.
That the Skywags?
That's them.
Mildred studied the fire. There were six frameworks for biplanes in the heart of the blaze.
They look good and chilled to me.
They are nuked.
Thank Gaia.
Gaia?
The women turned with their weapons at the ready as two figures came out of the smoke. Christy and Mildred almost fired when the men raised guns. Then the thick fumes parted for a moment, and everybody relaxed.
You okay, Millie?
Blood was dripping off JB's face. There was a new hole in his fedora, and a piece missing from his leather jacket.
Just battered and bruised, John. Are the slaves free?
I'm fine, thanks for asking.
Gone.
Thank you, Jack.
A deep red slash ran along one of Jack's cheeks.
He ran fast with the chains off.
Get the book?
It's ashes.
With the firelight dancing on his glasses, JB looked around.
Then we're done here. Let's get back to the wag.
Raise!
It was Renee. The companions turned and fired. Wearily moving closer, the four found the man lying on the ground. Still alive, his chest was pumping crimson, and there were two crossbows in his twitching hands. Renee triggered them, only to have the arrows fly harmlessly over their heads.
Your friggin' outies may have got me, but you'll still get aced. My dogs...
Dogs?
Relax. They're already on the last train west, Jack.
Christy reached down to yank off the whistle hanging from a rawhide cord around the neck of the corpse.
This might come in handy someday.
Leaving the burning tents behind, the cool desert wind deliciously washed over the companions. Getting their bearings, the four started at a run back toward the distant gate. A few bodies and windblown debris were scattered across the ground. As they dashed past a pile of wooden boxes, a Sekhman reached out of hiding to grab Jack by the collar. The man's fingers fell away from the razor blades hidden along the coat collar.
Idiot.
A tent collapsed, blowing hot air and embers to the sky. A Sekhman stumbled from the fiery heart of the inferno, horribly burned over most of his body, the blackened skin cracked and oozing in a network of gaping flesh. He held a brace of revolvers. JB cut loose with the Uzi, the hail of hot lead fanning the destruction to stitch the charred man across the chest. But already numb from the overload of his pain, the man didn't even feel the hits and turned to aim both guns at the startled armorer.
What the... Screw this!
JB's stream of 9mm Parabellum rounds hammered the dying attacker back into the blazing ruins of the tent. He disappeared among the flame and smoke. The companions pivoted as the gate flew apart. The wreckage was still falling when the black Hummer smashed its way through the splintered timbers and started rolling their way. Rushing from the darkness, a man fired a crossbow at the wag and missed. Behind the steering wheel, Dot veered the armored wag abruptly and clipped the set man with the front fender. He went flying to land on the ground. Dot stopped the Hummer near the companions.
10 minutes exactly. I do hope that I am not tardy.
You're right on time, old man. Come on, Christy.
Mildred assisted Christy into the wag. From the ceiling light of the Hummer, the physician could now see just how badly soaked was Christy's shirt. The firelight had disguised the sheer volume of blood.
Not good. Not good at all.
JB and Jack piled into the vehicle.
Did you get the technical manual?
Uh-huh.
Waxen-faced, Christy leaned back in the seat.
And the demons are all burned.
Exemplary. Exeunt!
Doc drove jerkily across the littered field, encountering no further resistance. But situated at the windows, JB and Jack tried to watch for trouble from every direction. Reaching the smashed gate, the Hummer rolled over the assorted debris.
Sorry.
Just get us out of here, Doc.
My pleasure.
Opening Christie's bearskin coat, Mildred finally saw the wound. A tooth was still buried in her ripped flesh.
Find a level stretch, Tanner, and I'll need light. Lots of light.
That's not advisable.
I've got no choice, John. She's critical.
So be it. Jack, be my guide.
As they raced for the safety of the foothills, they had no idea that behind them, dozens of Sekhmen on horseback poured out of Thunderville, led by a grim and bloody-faced Captain Brian Stone.
Oh, shit!
Brian dove off the BMW motorcycle, firing the Steyr at the cannies. Blood erupted from a cannie's knee, and he crumpled, holding his shattered limb. A spear slammed into a boulder alongside Ryan and exploded into splinters that sprayed across his face. Instinctively jerking away to protect his good eye, the big man worked the bolt to chamber a fresh round. He shot another cannie in the heart. Then a third spear rammed him in the stomach. Ryan doubled over. One cannie threw a spear into the air. Another turned and ran. Ryan fired the Steyr at the remaining cannies as he reclaimed the bike. Every second counted right now. He had to keep moving, or everything was lost. A cannie charged.
Shit!
Ryan used his panga to slash at the flesh eater. The cannie instantly fell away, trying to use both hands to hold in his guts. Yeah! Rolling forward, Ryan slammed into another cannie and sent the man tumbling. In the clear, Ryan accelerated and roared away. The Angel peppered the crest of the hill with a long burst of gunfire. Bouncing down the slope, Ryan's headlight blinked out.
Fuck!
Slowing his speed, the furious man smacked it with a fist, and the light returned with a vengeance, even brighter than before.
Yes!
The hill suddenly exploded from an expertly dropped Molotov. Dripping fire, the cannies dashed around madly. Taking advantage of the distraction, Ryan streaked back to the Hummer tracks he had been following and took off to the nearby forest.
Only a few more miles now.
Ryan swung back to drive underneath the Skywag before she could take aim. The Angel peeled away to the left, then swung back in a sideways pass. Ryan's luck held. He escaped injury.
Dang!
The dashboard was smashed. The dilly bar dented, and the rear tire had taken a hit. Ryan braced for the expected crash, but the pre-dark military tire didn't explode or even deflate at the puncture. But he knew that he couldn't depend upon it surviving a second strike. He poured on the gas, forcing the Beamer to full speed across the wild grassland. Minutes translated into miles, and Ryan discovered that he could smell the blood long before he saw the mound of corpses. This was it. Ground Zero. Just before breaking camp that morning, the companions had gone hunting. A herd of deer eating the grass just outside the forest didn't seem to know what a human was, but it paid the companions no attention at all. Contentedly grazing, the animals watched placidly while Ryan and the others took aim with their guns and then cut loose. After the slaughter, the companions butchered the bodies, throwing the organs and meat around to make as big a mess as possible. Retreating to a safe distance, they waited and watched, hoping for the best. Their vigil was rewarded when the first Stingwing arrived to investigate the wealth of fresh meat. Soon there were dozens of the winged muties feasting on the dead deer, with more arriving every minute. That was what Ryan was heading for at 60 miles per hour, his secret weapon, a dozen dead deer covered with feasting Stingwings. As the headlight washed over the ragged skeletons, Ryan saw that a flock of Stingwings was still there, tearing apart the rotting animals. He saw the muties jerk their beaks in his direction. He plowed through the middle of the flock, crushing several Stingwings under the spinning tires of the big bike. The headlights shattered. Crushed Stingwings tumbled in every direction. Accustomed to being the predators rather than the prey, the Stingwings were totally confused by the assault and took to the sky for safety. Whirling high above the grassland, they began to circle the rotting corpses, preparing to reclaim their food source.
That's it, Fishworld.
Come and get me.
The enraged muties saw something large flying their way and swarmed together to strike at the new enemy.
Mother of Doom!
The flock of Stingwings rose furiously and charged straight at Sandra Trigger. Slamming the joystick to the left, she stomped on the fuel pedal. The biplane slipped sideways across the deadly sky. A stingwing darted past her, flying directly into the spinning propellers. The wooden blades annihilated the creature, blood and feathers spewing out in a grisly spray. Another stingwing slammed into the guy line supporting the left wing and was beheaded. But a third punched straight through the right wing, leaving a hole in its way. Sandra shoved the stick forward and started heading for the ground, adding the pull of gravity to her engine to almost double her speed. The biplane was showing the strain of the rapid dive. The stingwings were falling behind, but the Earth was coming dangerously close. With no other choice, Sandra eased up on the power and began to sweep upward. Almost instantly, the meeting surrounded the Angel. Yes! Another died in the spinning propellers, but a second hit the rudder, going completely through the fabric covering the wooden frame. Instantly, Sandra found the stability was gone, the biplane responding sluggishly to the stick. Dropping the wing flaps and shoving the stick sideways, the Baron spun the biplane around in a barrel roll. The wings smacked the stingwings out of the sky, and a dozen broken forms tumbled to Earth. Leveling out the biplane, Sandra saw a stingwing slam into the canvas top and rip off the stiff fabric to expose the working engine. As the crumpled body dropped away, black smoke began to pour from the machinery, the whirl of exhaust temporarily blinding her. Sandra started to reach for her sunglasses, then stopped and eased the flow of fuel to the engine. Drawing her gun, she furiously fired at the encircling stingwings, which only seemed to enrage them more. The biplane confused them, but guns they understood. Guns were used by two legs, and two legs were food. A stingwing landed on the left wing, sunk its talons into the tough fabric, and began to peck at the guy lines holding the struts in place. Flying with one hand, Sandra leveled her derringer. The stingwing exploded and fell away, but another slammed into her wrist, and the derringer went flying.
No!
She saw it tumble only a few feet away, then drop behind and vanish.
Jetfire!
She pulled out her remaining derringer and unleashed it at the stingwing, but only scored a single kill. The angry muties attacked again and again, mostly striking the guy lines, probably because of the high-pitched noise they were making. But a few were tearing at the fabric, exposing the inner framework of the plane. Sandra knew that if enough of that was loosened or damaged, she would lose control of the Angel, and death would swiftly follow. She briefly debated trying to land and run for cover in the trees, but that would mean abandoning the Angel to the muties. After they were done, it would never fly again. Visions flashed through her mind, of her Bill cheering as the food arrived, of the new blaster in the hands of her father, the explosion that crushed Indiraville. Power, freedom, life, it all depended on the Angel.
Muty scum!
Sandra killed two more.
Yes!
Working the controls, she swooped downward to suddenly bank back upward, twisting around in a leap. The bizarre maneuver confused the creatures for a moment, and suddenly she was behind the flock. The heavy-duty combat rounds of the rapid fire tore the stingwings apart. Then the propeller chewed through the core of the fluttering group like death itself. The spray of blood coated the windshield, completely blinding her. She fed the dying engine maximum power and tightened the choke, thinning the air-shine mix to make it as rich as possible.
Come on, you big bitch! Don't chill on me now! Yeah!
The Angel suddenly shot through the scattering flock of stingwings. The fuselage was shaking all over from the mass damage, several of the guy lines straining as the smaller strands began to snap under the accumulated strain and damage. The sky around her was clear of stingwings.
Now, where are the rest of those damn muties?
What was left of the flock was leaving. They had had enough of the pre-dark machine.
I did it!
White-hot pain slammed into her back and side. Disoriented, Sandra fell under the controls.
Him!
The one-eyed Coldheart on the bike. Sandra had completely forgotten about him during her battle with the winged muties. Fighting to stay awake, Sandra knew she had no choice and started for the ground as gently as possible. But her speed was too fast, and suddenly the leafy treetops were flashing underneath the Angel only yards away.
Ugh!
By now, both of her wounds had gone numb, and she knew that was a very bad sign. She had to land soon, get to the medkit in the rear seat. A wave of cold seeped into her bones as Sandra felt the blood suck into her clothing and drip onto the floorboard. Pushing that from her mind, she struggled to maintain an even keel.
Come on. Adjust the throttle. Watch that oil pressure. You're the Baron now. You can do it. Baron Sandra Triggers. You can do it.
About an hour later, Ryan braked the BMW motorcycle to a halt on top of the rock ledge near the Hummer. He could see that everybody from the WAG was alive, although Christy looked a lot paler than usual. Even her hair was hanging limply. Pushing down the kickstand, Ryan climbed off the bike and started that way, but stopped. From the vantage point atop the ledge, he had a commanding view of the two vills in the distance. The airfield was dotted with fiery mounds, the distorted shadows of people and horses moving around the blazes, doing who knew what, maybe scavenging for anything they could find. A lot of tribute went into the crater. Some of it had to still be useful.
Glad to see you here, Ryan. So, did it work?
Yeah, JB. The Stingwings tore her apart. And just to make sure, I pumped a couple of extra rounds into the Skywag after it caught fire and was plummeting to the ground.
Sounds aced.
There was dried blood on Jack's collar, but none of it seemed to be his. Ryan could guess the cause.
We'll know for sure until I see her fucking corpse. But she was going so fast when she hit those trees, I really don't see how anybody could have survived.
Well done, my dear Ryan. And we accomplished our own mission with equal aplomb. The technical journal is no more, Carl has been recovered, and the slaves were set free.
Ryan shrugged. He really hadn't given the slaves a lot of thought. But if that had been done too, so much the better.
Found him easy enough, did they?
Ryan looked in the rear seat of the Hummer. Mildred glanced up at his presence, then went right back to work stitching closed a jagged gash in Christy's side. He could see that she would be fine. She was just asleep, her chest rising and falling in a regular pattern.
Sure, they found Carl. No prob. Just as we thought, the Vilsec men went straight to the crater, giving us plenty of time to hide our tracks and get up here out of sight. Then they did a wreck on the earlier war wag. Found Carl knocked out, lying with the aced sec men, an empty blaster in his hand. Some stud named Brian thought Carl had to have escaped from the Cold Hearts to warn the others. Real hero stuff.
And he didn't mention us?
Not a word.
Good. What got her, Mildred? Blaster or arrow?
Dogbite. There's a new scar for the collection.
Better a scar than a pine box.
Ryan reached in to touch the cheek of the sleeping woman. Jack returned from examining the BMW.
Bullet holes, blood, stingwing feathers. Must have been a hell of a ride. Back's nuked.
So's my ass. We'll leave the bike behind for the locals to scav. We don't need it anymore. Make better time back to the redoubt in the Hummer.
Booby trap?
Nah, Jack. Just let it be. Let's roll.
As he climbed into the Hummer, Ryan caught a motion in the starry sky and grabbed for the long rifle still hung across his chest.
It's only a vulture, Ryan. It's got better things to eat than your live ass.
Thank God.
Ryan closed the door and leaned out the window, watching the carrion eater circle the airfield like a plane getting ready to land.
Damnedest thing.
Fly free, little Sky Raider. Enjoy it while you can. Because someday, a wiser humanity will rise from these Stygian ashes to take back the sky. Indeed, perhaps to conquer the very stars.
Just not tonight, okay, Doc?
Of course, John Barrymore. There is always tomorrow, my friend. Exit, stage left.
Dawn was just starting to break as consciousness returned to Baron Sandra Treggart. She was lying on bare earth, smashed wood and bits of charred silk everywhere. At first, she couldn't comprehend where she was. Then the events of the night came rushing back. She tried to sit upright. She found herself trapped in the wreckage of the Angel,
Broken tree limbs were everywhere, along with bits and pieces of the once magnificent machine. The frame was reduced to kindling, the silk only tattered strips, the controls smashed, the engine a fire-blackened lump, and there was no sign of the propeller.
It's gone. All gone.
Not all, my lady.
Sandra saw a pair of shiny boots walk closer, and she forced her stiff neck to look upward. Several Sekmen came out of the bushes along the riverbank.
You.
Hello, bitch.
Oh, fuck, Jeffers. What do you want from me?
Retribution.
Then take it, you dickless wonder.
My pleasure.
Traveling northward, the companions found the ford and crossed the Ojai without any trouble. Returning to the redoubt, they collapsed in their beds and slept for a full day. Eventually rising, the companions checked the base one more time for any supplies they might have missed, then went to the Matren's chamber to make a blind jump to another redoubt. As always, they hoped it would be one stuffed full of food and weapons, but even more so, a redoubt located in lush farmland, without any muties or vills in 1,000 miles.
Are you ready, people?
Are we ever, Ryan?
No, Mildred, I guess not. Well, here goes nothing.
As the weary travelers fell away into nothingness, something small moved in the shadows of the control room on the other side of the closed oval door. Rolling into the fluorescent light, the droid paused, several tiny antennas flexing in the air, giving it a decidedly insect-like appearance. The machine was about the size of a shoebox, its hull a bland neutral color, but deeply embossed into the metal was a symbol, a circle surrounded by an elliptic ring with a tiny five-pointed star set off-center. Going around the mummified corpse of a dead tech on the floor, the droid went to the control board of the master computer and then rolled up the flat metal side of the console to reach the banks of twinkling controls on top. Careful not to touch any of the dials or buttons, the droid proceeded to a small access slot and settled down on top of it. Power surged into the droid, recharging its nuke batteries. It began to send a report to its master about the companions. When they arrived in the redoubt, when they left, what they took, a detailed description of their physical status, especially any wounds or weapons, and finally, the precise location of the new redoubt the 6 people had just jumped to. Deathlands Sky Raider is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2007, James Axler. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, Sonny Lasky, Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Ken Jackson, Jim Lawson, Doug Krenzlin, James Konacek, Barbara Pinellini, Michael Replogle, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Bob Supan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing by Carlos Anderson, Johan Detweiler, Kyle Unaver, and Greg Reinfeld. Graphic audio sound design by Johan Detweiler. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Johan Detweiler. Book adapted for graphic audio by Gerald Rudolph. If you enjoyed Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at road stops everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net.